Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Velocity Athletic Training Radio, created by Layla Helena Smolak, your number one personal trainer with 35 years experience in areas of consulting, management, corporate wellness, and training clients from all walks of life. Here's your host, Layla Helena Smolak.
Welcome, fans and followers, to Velocity Athletic Training Radio. I'm your host, Helena Smolak. And I'm coming to you live from Blaine, Washington, USA. If you're interested in advertising your products and services on the show, by all means, contact me at iwin@velocityathletictraining.com. A shout-out goes to Everyday Fitness, located at 1733 H Street, Unit 850, Blaine, Washington. You may contact Bear at 360-332-7210. And it is with great pleasure that I announce Velocity Athletic Training will be offering personal training services as well as conditioning classes. Another shout out goes to Living Pantry Refillery and Marketplace, located at 684 Peace Portal Drive in Blaine, Washington. You may contact the owners, Shauna and Seppi Morris, at 360-393-4362 and visit them at www.livingpantry.com. All right, today I welcome back my special guest and Velocity Athletic Training Athlete Ambassador, Arthur G. from Vancouver, BC, Canada. Welcome back, Arthur.
Thank you, Helena.
It's a pleasure having you back. I want to hear your journey about your training, how your athletic journey has changed during this trying time in the world. I know our last conversation, we're going out to the Maritimes to compete, and can you please share your story with what happened when you were heading out there?
Well, we're a fairly eager bunch, and we were looking forward to making some noise in the athletic world, representing the Greyhounds Track and Field Club here in Vancouver. And so we're a keen bunch, but, you know, we couldn't get the whole club behind us because not everyone sort of has the wherewithal and nor the same degree of interest we have to travel to the other side of the country to compete for the Canadian Indoor Championships on March the 13th and 14th and of this year. But we were ready to go, and we were, and there's a few of us, and we figured, because based on the representation that we had last time in the indoor championships, that a few of us were able to take away the team trophy. And that was exciting anticipation. And this is one other member who is as probably as insane as I am, Hardev Sandhu, and myself will register for 12 or more events in a track and field meet. And we have chances of placing and therefore get a number of individual points. And so we were all set to go to St. John, New Brunswick, which we booked our flight, and we actually arrived in St. John, New Brunswick, one night before, all ready to compete the following day in the late afternoon with some throwing events. When we showed up in the morning of Friday, we were disappointed to find out that there was not a single person there to greet us, to welcome us to the meet. And we thought that was rather strange. Then someone said to me, he says, the city had just canceled the meet. They won't allow any events to have any more than a certain number of people whether that number was actually mentioned, but it was basically canceled. So it wasn't the meet that got canceled, it's the city that canceled it. So we couldn't participate in the meet. And here we arrived at a brand new indoor stadium, principally sponsored by one of the wealthy citizens of New Brunswick, Mr. Irving. And so it was called the Irving Track and Field Complex. And we actually had a chance to practice there, but it was disappointing we couldn't have the meet. So that's a disappointing thing. We're all ready to compete for Canada, but only a very few of us showed up. The other people that showed up, we never had a chance to meet. And that was it, unfortunately.
So prior to you arriving, you were not even informed that the event had been canceled, and you had no idea. Did they tell you? I'm assuming they told you it's because of the pandemic, correct?
Yes.
When you arrived there?
It was canceled by the city. And we never heard it until that Friday morning. And we arrived Thursday evening.
My, oh dear. So you guys were so, you know, determined and dedicated to, you know, shine your athleticism, and you arrive and it was canceled because of the situation
well, we
in the world
had,
today.
We had a strategy, and we had a strategy because in the Canadian events, when it's being held in a place other than Toronto, there's a tendency for only a very few keen members of their club to show up at these meets. And whenever these members show up at the meet, they only do one or two things. Like they might run 100 meters, 200 meters, and that's about it. And then the throwers will probably do the throws pentathlon, and that's all they would do. But the thing is, at the Canadians, what they do is they have individual points that they will count towards the team trophy. So they didn't count on people like me who would sign up for 12 events, unlike two events. And then all we need is a little placing. Even placing fourth place would get you some points. And we walked away with the team trophy by a landslide last time in Edmonton. So we thought this time we're going to take the team trophy, but we couldn't get enough people interested. But between Hardev and myself, I think we signed up for 24 events. And then Sheila Allison, she was convinced, and she signed up for about 8 events. She normally only does 2 or 3. And we took an 80-year-old there who would do race walking, and she's pretty slow, but for her age group, she's pretty fast. And so we figured on clean up with the team trophy. Well, we did, and unfortunately, because of this upset, we didn't have to forfeit our team trophy, which we did forfeit. And we didn't think to ask for the team trophy. Otherwise, we would have brought it back with us on our return trip.
Yeah, and it seemed like you celebrated due to this disappointing news when you arrived. You had a nice dinner at Boston Pizza, correct? I'm sure you celebrated there.
That's correct.
Somehow.
You turned
it into a positive. Wow.
Of course.
We cannot fall prey and you know, be negative and be upset over it. It's we got to just keep, you know, forging ahead and being positive and to keep moving our bodies, obviously, right?
Well,
now you are. Pardon?
You go ahead. Sorry.
Now you're into you do choir. You sing in a choir, correct?
Yes.
We're going to sort of shift it over to your singing abilities, which is so amazing. I've got it on the channel. And now, was there any changes with that as well? Because, you know, in a choir, you're so close, you're standing side by side, you're in close proximity. Were there any changes with that aspect other than athleticism?
Well, you know, we all get news, and of course we all sort of knew about the onset of the pandemic. It's in all the news anyway, and so everyone can choose to react differently, as you have seen in the news. Different countries have reacted in different ways. I think Canada has reacted very well. They reacted probably not as hard and as fast as they could have, but they still did better, I think, than most other countries. But it all comes down to the individual. Our conductor decided, and it was this was March the 15th, maybe it was earlier, but our choir practice was supposed to be March the 15th. And he said, I think in lieu of things, I think reluctantly we have to cancel our practice, which we have 80 men in the choir who would stand probably side by side, seated all together in a large hallway to practice our singing. So he says, well, we're going to have to cancel that. And of course, we're listening to the news every day. And we heard that there was a choir in Seattle that also practiced, were supposed to practice on March the 15th. But the conductor says, hey, we're, everything is going. We're going to not let anything hold us back. They went for a practice, and several of them got the virus. And I think someone in the choir died from the virus. So we're thankful that we did.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's not a good sign to hear that there was a death.
No.
But, you know, we need to practice safety, obviously. Now, I know you and I had connected again a second time in relation to a run that we were going to participate in here in Blaine.
Yes.
And I remember we were both so excited. Okay, we're all, you know, you said, we're going to meet up at Bob's Burgers and we're going to have a beer and a burger. We were so excited about that. And then email arrives saying it's been canceled. Now,
yes.
We're all trying. Well, I know I am trying. I don't know, but I can't speak for everybody else out there when they're competing. But for myself, I am not a fan of this virtual run idea, just for my personal safety, number one. I did run, and, you know, I went ahead and I did run. I noticed a lot of glitches in the you know, I'm running, I've got the phone with me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. It was telling me it took me 50 minutes to run 5K. I'm like, okay, stop. I just deleted the whole thing. I said, no, this is crazy. So how have you adapted to all that? And if you've noticed any glitches yourself, or how do you feel about not having that crowd of people? You know, you're running close to that finish line. You've got friends and family and people going, you know, cheering you on. I think that's a huge shift as well. But how are you dealing with this?
Actually, we're not going out there to show off to anybody. We're not going to run for the masses. We're running for ourselves.
No.
So the difference is that if you're running, you're running against imaginary competitors. And that's all that matters. And you just hope that you're doing your best. In fact, you would like to see that competitor out there. So there's another stride or two faster you might go because of someone else nearby. Now, when you're going out to do a virtual run, you may have one or two friends that might go out with you. But because it's a virtual run, everyone chooses their own time. And you may not be exactly running, starting your race at exactly the same time, even though you're at the same place at the same time. But that's all right. You're there for your own personal satisfaction. And you have the beauty of a virtual run is you get to choose where you like to run. So it's obviously a place of your choice, a place of your convenience, perhaps the scenery you like, and the terrain might be more suitable. And it might not be a perfectly flat terrain, but it's something that you would enjoy doing. And so that's what we have chosen to do, and we've enjoyed that process. And in fact, I've managed to influence a couple of friends who have taken this on really seriously and have had a lot of fun as a result, looking at the results, competing against the world. In a virtual run where anyone can run wherever they want, anywhere in the world, and you're competing against someone, you have no idea who it is. But the only thing that's got a similarity is the results as posted on the board.
Mm-hmm. Now, has the actual team, the Greyhounds, I remember meeting everybody in Surrey at the track. That was amazing, you know, practicing and with everyone. Has there been any changes within the club at all, like people scaling back on running or training or meeting up?
Well, as a group, we have to do the right thing. And so there cannot be collectively a group training as such. So as soon as, I think pretty well in mid-March, it was declared that all coaching would be off. There would be no gathering, formal gathering, no one to host anything, and no, all meets will be suspended. The BC Athletics Association has not taken everything back, and nothing will be, anything that was organized or planned has been canceled until further notice. So the only ones who would go out to train would do so at their own risk and go to the track or whichever track they happen to be nearby to train on their own. And of course, a few of the keeners have essentially done that. But after having said that, going out to the North Surrey track, whenever the regular training day was, we've seen no more than about 8 people out in the track. And as you know, a track of that nature, if you're not doing the same kind of things, you're more than 2 meters apart. So, and if you're running, and of course, when you're training, it's very difficult to run and breathe deeply if you're wearing a mask. So we don't wear masks, but we also realize, you know, knowledgeably speaking, that, you know, out in the open air, the chances of contracting the virus is much less than being indoors. So we felt that the ones that go out to train, like myself, really have no fear of going out there to train. And we've done so as often as we did before. It really didn't hold us back. The only thing we missed was the group coaching and the togetherness of the people. And whenever you're training, if you're training with a group of people, it's a little more fun, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yes, that team, you know, the rah-rah sessions and just, you know, motivating each other in human presence, correct? I'm just looking
absolutely.
Back here. Your journey before all this transpired in 2019, oops, I just hit my piece of equipment here. It says that you were the most improved male athlete of the Greyhounds Track and Field Club. Can you share a bit about that? What brought you to that?
Well, a lot of people say I'm crazy, including my wife, because there's nothing in the track and field that I really don't like. So if I like it, then I want to try it. If I try it, I want to do it. And so basically speaking, at that point in time in 2019, I did everything except for the pole vault and actually the short hurdles. And the reason why I didn't do the short hurdles is because the hurdles are 30 inches high and I haven't jumped 30-inch high hurdles before. And so that's kind of scared me off from trying. And also I tried the pole vault and I says, I can't get off the ground with this thing. So I said, I'll put that aside. And so those are the only two things. But as far as running short distances, I didn't used to do that before, but I started doing that last year. So I ran short distance, 50 meters, 60 meters, 100 meters, 200 meters. 400 meters is now, from the speed side of things, was a bit much for me. But I says, okay, I'll run 400. 800, so far I'm putting that in the passing mode. And of course, I wanted to run 1,500 meters because it's part of the pentathlon. You have to do a 1500 meters in pentathlon. And so I'll do the 300 meter hurdles. I do the 2000 meter steeplechase. Nobody wants to do that. And I says, well, I do that because nobody else wants to do it. And so therefore, if I'm the only one who's doing it, I come first.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I do all the jumps. I do the long jump, the triple jump, and then all the throws. I'm not a big beefy guy, as you know, but I'll go out and do the throws. And if I come last, I'm not unhappy.
Well, you know what? I think just from what I'm picking up, as long as you're competing, you're happy. This is what I sense of you. So how did you get into the discus throw? Did you just, again, you just that was something you wanted to try out and go for it?
Actually, if anybody asked me, did you do athletics when you were younger, in my younger days, in high school days, and basically I would have to say no, but I did get dragged into track and field by my friend, and I was not a good runner in my younger days. I would basically come fourth because the school was a non-athletic school, and fourth was the fourth best in the whole school. But fourth among my friends was last. So I wasn't good by any means, but I did run. And of course, my friend was quite an athlete. He was a very aggressive athlete, and he was good in long jump. Like, he could really jump quite far for his age group. And I said, well, I can't do that. So I tried long jump, but I could barely make it to the edge of the pit and hit the sand. So I said, well, this is not a very safe thing for me. So I thought I'd take up discus. And, of course, no one in my junior high school days did discus. So therefore I was the best in the whole school. And I worked on my technique in throwing a discus, and I was pretty happy with myself until we went to an interscholastic meet, in which case then I came last because I now competed against people who are big beefy boys from private schools. So that sort of ended my discus career at that point in time, but it's in the back of my mind. So when we get a chance in the seniors track and field to do discus, I said, look, I remember that. And so discus of the five throws is one of my best throws.
Mm.
In fact, I competed in the World Masters indoor in Kamloops in 2010. And I entered it because, you know, how often is the World Masters going to come to Canada? And I said, well, coming to Canada, that's the cheapest and closest it's going to be. So I signed up for it. I signed up for the pentathlon, and I signed up for discus, of course. And I was surprised myself because that's the time I went and competed. I must have been in a different outer space. I don't even remember the event. But I threw that discus 32 meters, and I came second in the world.
Wow, Arthur, that's amazing. Congratulations. You know, when I listen to you speak, I think, where is he getting all this energy from? Like, where is it coming from? Well, you know what? I think it's all mental. It's all, you know, mind over matter. But what is it? What's your drive? Do you mind sharing that?
The hardest thing in doing anything is getting started. A lot of people says, oh, I like to run. But when I run, oh, I get pains and I get aches. And then after they get those aches and pains, they quit. I says, look, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, you have to get past the starting mode. And you'd be surprised. Everyone needs that bit of encouragement to get over the hump. And the thing is, you have to have the determination to get over the hump, no matter where that hump is. And usually it's at the beginning. I like I said, I've met a lot of people. They go out and start running. They get a little pain in their knee and it says, oh, I'm going to hurt my knee. So therefore they quit running. Well, I remember when I started running and I says, my knee started to hurt after 1K. I said, well, gee, I better back off. So I rested a few days. But I went back out there and did it again. My knee started to hurt after 1K. So I backed off another few days, went back at it again. Next time I went out to run, my knee started to hurt at 2K. I says, oh, okay. So I backed off a bit. And the next time I went out, my knees started to hurt at 3K. After a while, my knees didn't hurt anymore, and I just kept on running.
Yes, yeah. So you adapted your whole regime to that, you know, what you were feeling in your body, and you allowed your body to rest and recuperate, and then you challenged your body, you know, at each level. That's amazing. And you're right. Most people would say, oh my gosh, I hurt my back. I did this. I did that. And then they give up. Now the first time I met you was at the Surrey track. And I remember saying to you, well, I used to be a track star when I was 16. And you looked at me and you said, well, you're not 16 anymore. And I'm like, that was like a slight little wake-up call there for me. I'm like, okay, yes, true. So what would you recommend, other than, you know, giving up because you're feeling sore, for anyone to start this journey? Because, you know, there are many, well, thousands of master athletes out there. And because of what the world is going through right now, a lot of people are being forced to sit in front of the screen, work from home, in front of the computer, sometimes all day long. What would your suggestion or motivation to them, advice be to them?
Well, I think we have to realize that when we were born as human beings that were meant to move. That's why we have legs and arms. And when you're younger, you will naturally do that because there's just things you want to get out and do. That's not a problem. And you get out there and you earn money. And why do we work hard to earn money? Because we want to make our lives easier. We want to be able to buy things, buy a car. We want to get a better car, looks better, and we want to move a little faster with whatever else. We want to have modern convenience, remote controls to do things for us. And so we work hard to earn that money in order to get those things. When in actual fact, the best thing you can do for your body is just to move your body yourself. And once you realize that, and you realize that the only way you're going to get your body moving is to move the body. Get out there and walk, get out there and run as a part of your daily lifestyle. And in the beginning, it's probably not hard to do because you're young and you want to do other things that your other friends do. But as you start to earn more money and you buy all these things that give yourself a more comforting life, you get a better TV that you can sit in front of and watch. You want to see movies. You can afford money to buy tickets to go see the Vancouver Canucks or the Seattle Sounders or whatever the case may be. Then all you're doing is when you're watching the elite doing these things, all you're doing is sitting and watching. It would be better for you to get out and play a poor game of whatever, but you're the one who's doing it, and you're the one who's going to improve. And then once you've decided that you're going to do it, it's good to have a plan and set out a plan. What do I want to do? Do I want to play soccer? Do I want to play baseball? Or do I want to run? Well, I would say that running or track and field is probably, I would say, the safest because it's totally under your control. When you decide you are not feeling well, you slightly hurt, you twitched yourself someplace, you back right off, no problem. But when you're playing on a team, you feel committed to go for that last little bit for the team, and you may go too far and therefore make your injury worse, as the case may be. So that's why individual efforts are good.
Excellent advice. You know, we're running out of time. So is there a website for the Greyhounds people can visit and see all the team members? And
I think you just browse Greyhounds. There's probably a lot of Greyhounds. The Greyhounds, and get the word Surrey in there, S-U-R-R-E-Y, and you'll probably find the site. And once you found the site, you'll find it again. And find out what is offered there for masters athletes. And it doesn't necessarily target only those that are athletes. Anyone who's interested in participating, and that's the key thing. Everyone is welcome.
Exactly.
And no matter what age you are.
Thank you so much, Arthur. thank you so much for being back on the show. I admire your determination, your energy, your thought patterns. I think you're a wonderful, wonderful role model. But we got to go. We are off air soon. And you have a great day. Remain safe. Remain healthy. And, of course, I don't need to tell you to remain positive because you're already there. Thank you so much, Arthur.
Thank you so much for
having
me.
Have a wonderful day. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Velocity Athletic Training Radio. Follow, like, and subscribe. Visit Layla at www.velocityathletictraining.com. Get up, move, unleash your inner athlete, be it, live it.